seat. You may look on the stage this morning and see something that's strange, a trophy, and you may wonder what it's that about. Well, for those of you who are fairly new, we have two church softball teams, and we play for a lot of reasons, but they actually won their division this last week, and you can give them a hand. Just look for the ones that are limping around, like with a pulled hammy. Those are the ones that we're playing over the weekend. And just so you know, the trophy's fine, but we do it more because it's relationship. You know, we want to have fun. We want to kind of get to know each other. And softball is one of those things that we can kind of get to know each other through. And so if you didn't get to play this year, you're welcome. You're invited to play next year, but just realize that if they lose next year, it's because of you. So that's the only parameter to that you have to understand. About the trophy. So we are starting a new series this morning. We're going to do it this week. Next week, we're going to be at Havana Glen Campground where we do our baptism celebration. And so we'll be taking a journey away from it next week. But then throughout the month of August, we'll be walking through this idea of greater. As we're gearing up for the fall, I believe that God wants to do greater things in all of our lives. All right, that God has, we talk about this often, God has plans for us. God has things he wants for us, things that he wants us to do. He has plans for us that are greater than we are, greater than what we can experience. And so this series is walking us through how do we experience what God wants to do that's greater than what we can do on our own. So there's other terms that you can use. One is increasing our capacity. Who we are now may not be enough to get us to where God wants us to be. So he needs to increase our capacity. He needs to, you ever see the rubber band illustrated? You know, you need to stretch the rubber band. You need to, maybe another term we use is grow. We want you to grow. And so this series is really as we're gearing up for the fall, the new school year, is how does God want to increase our capacity? How does God want to do greater things in our life? How does God want to do greater things in our church? And this morning, what I want to do is, throughout August, you'll be hearing some things that are very important to how we increase our capacity. This morning is probably the foundation of that. If you hear all of August and miss what we're talking about this morning, you'll be off base. Because throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, what we're talking about this morning is foundational. It's the backbone of what God wants to do in our life. It's like if God's asking us to do one thing, it's probably this thing that we're talking about this morning. When I play basketball, especially we were down in the Dominican Republic, I was playing basketball, and by the time I went back to my room, you know, you're covered in sweat. And so sometimes you take your shirt off and you ever try to wring it out to see if you get water out of it? That's just me, this crazy thing I do. What I'm telling you is, if you would wring, like if you could kind of wring this out, what we're talking about this morning is probably one of the main things that you would hear over and over again, things that you would wring out of this book. This last summer on my sabbatical, I decided to rest in a way by painting my house. We have a two-story colonial house, and so we're like, all right, I have a few weeks. We could either pay money to get it done, which we can't do, or I can do it. And so I started working my Karate Kid thing going, you know, the whole wrist, for those of you who are Karate Kid experts, and just started painting my house. So I started the place where I'm most comfortable, with my 2 feet on the ground, right? So I'm going around the house, just kind of working through, but at some point, you have to climb the ladder to get to the next section. And so I get my folding ladder out, climb a few steps, and I feel okay, but still a little wobbly. You know, sometimes one of the legs would sink down, but I'm painting. And I don't know if you know about a two-story house, but there comes a point where there's a peak. And when I started painting the house, I was telling my wife, I'm like, I don't know how, I'm not like, I don't like ladders. I don't like heights. I don't want to be on a ladder. I don't know how we're going to do the peak, but we'll just start painting the house and somehow we'll do the peak. I don't know how it's going to happen. My brother-in-law comes in. He's a carpenter by trade and he's on vacation. And he's like, listen, I'm not doing anything today. Why don't I come and help you paint the house? And I'm like, you're on vacation. I don't want you to come on your vacation to paint the house. But he's like, I'll paint the house. I'm like, all right, well, I have just the spot for you. And so, you know, we get the ladder out, and he he gets it fully extended, climbs the ladder all the way to the top, and I was watching him for, you know, I'm supposed to be painting him. I'm like, I'm just watching him because he's like going like five times faster than I'm going. And he doesn't even get off the ladder. You ever see the guys that like hop the whole ladder to the next spot and then hop to the next spot? And you know, I'm just thinking, that's crazy. You know, because there's two parts about ladders that, two facts about ladder. One is the higher you go, the further you have to fall, right? I mean, as you climb the ladder, it's a lot further down. And then the second one is the lower you are, the more comfortable you are. And so this morning, what we're doing, we're talking about these kind of ladders that we climb. Because our world is based on climbing ladders. Our thought process is, how do we get to the next level? Growth, spiritual growth, and all sorts of growth is about climbing the ladder. We do this through jobs, right? We're climbing the ladder in jobs. So we start years ago in kindergarten. You know, we graduate kindergarten knowing that someday we'll be doing something else. So we graduate kindergarten. We graduate elementary school. We get to high school. We're just climbing the ladder. The crazy thing about climbing the ladder is you get to a certain spot, then you have to start over again. You graduate high school at the top. You know, you're the senior in your school, and then you have to start as a freshman in college. So you just climb and drop, climb and drop. You graduate college, you have this like great paper that you spent $100,000 on that says you're smart and intelligent, and now you have to go in the real world and find a job that kind of, you use that paper to get a job. You know, you spend $100,000 to get a job, basically. And you start at the bottom, and you're just climbing and climbing the ladder, trying to grow through the company. And there's nothing really wrong with climbing the ladder. But I'm not sure that's how God designed us to live. I mean, we do that relationally too. And so you start out, a kid likes a girl, and so he pulls her hair, or, I don't know, gets her attention by taking her pencils. And so you start there, and then you're like, all right, climb the ladder. What's the next step? And so you may write a note, you know, if you like me, Mark X, you put the little box there, you know, yes, no, maybe, someday, never. And so, you know, you do that. Maybe you're just climbing the next step. You know, you're like, all right, I'm going to talk to her. That was after the note. You know, you're like, I'm gonna have a conversation. So you just climb the ladder. Next step is, okay, we're going to, I don't even know the wording of it anymore. We're going to date. We're going to go steady. We're going to go out. We're gonna hang out. You know, but there's a stepping stone to what young people do in their dating experience. They're going to hang out for a while, then they're going to date for a while, then they're going to go out for a while. I don't know the order, but there's some kind of order there, but they're stepping up relationally. And finally, they're like, okay, we're going to become engaged. We're going to get married. You're stepping up. And for a lot of people, they think marriage is the end, right? You're like, okay, finally, I don't have to climb the ladder anymore. Then you realize you get to the top and you have to start all over again and start climbing. You have to know your spouse and know what they like, and you have to kind of fight sometimes to figure things out, and it gets a little tough. But you're climbing the relational ladder. And we do this spiritually as well. We kind of climb the ladder. So we're like, all right, God, I think it's time to add you into my life. I'm hitting rock bottom. You know, I'm not even on the ladder, so let me start looking for you. So you're like, I'll go to church. So you step up a realm. You know, like, I'm going to church. Therefore, God will get me to where I want to be. And then you're like, all right, so if I'm going to church, maybe I should join a small group. And so you climb the next rung. You're like, I'm part of a small group. Next ladder, I'm serving. Next rung. All right, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. And you start climbing the ladder. And really, the reason we climb ladders is because we have a picture of where we want to get. And we're working super hard to get there. And I want to spend some time in Philippians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Verses 5 through 11. But I think the way we get to greater is probably different than what we think it is. We spend a lot of time climbing ladders when God has a whole different plan for what he wants us to do to get to where he wants us. And so I'm going to read this to you. We're going to start in verse 5. It says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So Paul's writing this letter to the Philippian church. Let me give you a little background on this. The Philippian church is a church that it's like the good child church. You know, so you had the Corinthian church, and that was the broken church. They had a lot of issues. That's kind of like the child that's the rebellious child, and so you love them, but you're like frustrated a lot of times. The Philippian church is the one, like, this is my prized, you don't say it out loud, but this is the good one. You know, this is the Philippian church. This is the church that he loves, he adores. He's in prison right now when he's writing this letter. And he's like, listen, this is what I want you to pursue. This is what I want you to understand. This is how I want you to know God. And this is how I want you to find contentment. This is how I want you to find joy. And so he gets to Philippians chapter 2. He says, listen, in your relationships with one another and how you are working things out, with the way you're dealing with each other, this is what I want you to do. I want you to have the same mind as Christ Jesus. Now, the Gospels tell us a lot about what Jesus did, some of his healings and some of his miracles, and it also tells us a lot about what he taught, but there's limited action on what he thought. What was behind the scenes? If you pulled back the curtain, what was it that was driving Jesus? What was driving the miracles? What was driving what he said? And right here, we're going to get what was driving him. What was he thinking when he was doing all that? And what Paul's saying is, hey, whatever was driving Jesus, let it drive you. Have this mind, this thought process, this way that Jesus thought. Take it on. Wear it. Because this is how you get to greatness. So we're going to jump down to verse 9. It says, therefore. All right, so for you people who enjoy like going through the English class and you like tearing apart sentences, therefore is a connector. What was said before this produces what is after this. Does that make sense? What we're not going to get to what was before quite yet. We're going to get there. But what he says after this is what is the effect of what happened in the previous verses. This is the effect. Therefore, because of what happened in the previous verses, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen to what he's saying. Because of whatever happened beforehand, which we'll get to, this is what God did for Jesus. He put him on the top rung of the ladder. Whatever happened in the previous verses, the Father looked down and said, man, I'm going to put you above all things. Therefore, at the name of Jesus, at his name, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Every knee, whether you believe in him or not believe in him, someday every knee will bow before him. Now, there are some people who've had some power. There are some kings who've had some power who can make people kneel before them. But not every knee will kneel before him. But Jesus is in such a position, the Father has put him in such a position that every knee will bow before him. Everyone will be like, you are Lord. That's what it says. Every tongue will confess. Every one of us will say, you are God. You are Lord. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. Let me put it in a different term. Because of whatever happened and previously to these verses, the Father placed Jesus in the highest rung of the ladder. Fair to say? There's no one greater than him. There's no one that has more authority than him. There's no one that can be the king as he is king. So going back. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. The end of the passage is God exalted him to the highest place. So how did he get there? Verses 6 through 8, it says this. This is talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of the servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Do you see what's happening? See, in our world, the way we see things is we got to be constantly climbing the ladder. To be great, you have to climb. As a pastor, there's this pressure to have a bigger church, a bigger ministry. And so you climb the ladder. You try to do more outreach. You try to exalt yourself. This is what Jesus did. He says he climbs down the ladder. He's like, who being in very nature God? By the way, this just a little addendum to this. If you ever talk to someone who doesn't believe that Jesus is God, this is a great scripture to go to. Who in all of his qualities, Jesus in all of his qualities, was and is God. All his power, all his authority, the worship of all the angels. He was on his throne. He was the creator God, who being in very form, all-knowing, all-loving, all-power, all wrapped up. You ever see the Aladdin, the genie? And in one part, the genie says, I have all this power, and I have this tiny little living space. All right, there's this God, this Jesus, who is all-powerful, and he stepped out of heaven to be born to a teenage girl in the middle of nowhere, Bethlehem, to in a barn. Do you see how he's climbing down the ladder? Now, think about this. Jesus, who is eternal, who is independent, like he doesn't need anything from anybody, stepped out of heaven, stepped down the ladder, and now he's a single-celled organism in a teenage girl's belly. Like you couldn't even, Almighty God in a single cell. Almighty God in this thing that you can't even see. Almighty God who is dependent on this girl, getting everything from this girl. He dies without this girl. Almighty God completely dependent on a teenage 16-year-old girl who's never had a baby in her life. He stepped down. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That we may think we're going to climb the ladder to get to success. Jesus has a whole different plan. So he doesn't stop there, though. It goes on to say, not only did he step down into heaven and he gave up all these God things, it says he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He starts, nothing is like emptying yourself out. Like when you have empty pockets, it means there's nothing in there. Almighty God, who has everything at his disposal, emptied his pockets out for a reason. He's like, he had nothing financially. He gave up all his desires. He placed it underneath the Father. He became a, do you get the phrase? A servant. The one who is supposed to be served is now the one who is serving. He stepped down another rung on the ladder. He said, all right, I'll step out of heaven, take on flesh. All right, not only will I take on flesh, but I'm given every right I have as a man who is God, to be worshipped and adored. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be the least of the people around here. I'm going to be here. And then it goes on even further. It says, and being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death. He's like, not only did he step down into a servanthood, he stepped down into death. I don't know if you've ever been next to someone as they're dying, but it's a pretty low point. There's nothing you can do. You may want to try to save them. There's nothing you can do to save them sometimes. You are in a helpless situation. And Jesus stepped down the ladder, and he actually said, I give up the eternal God, who is from the beginning, before there was beginning, said, all right, I'm giving up my life. It even goes a little step further. Not only did he give up lowered himself to death, did you get the last phrase? Even death on the cross, like the lowest of the low. Like, okay, so the cross in those days was a symbol of shame. And so what they would do is they'd take the criminals that they were going to crucify, and just like Jesus, they'd march them through the city. They didn't march them through the city because they needed to move the wood. They marched them through the city because they wanted to shame them, and they wanted to warn anyone who messed up and rebelled against the government that this is what you're going to be shamed. And so they would walk through the city, and it'd be the parade, right? They'll be watching, and they just kind of walk. And then you know the story, right? They spit at Jesus. You know the spit symbolizes shame. They insulted him. They called him all sorts of names. So this journey that Jesus, this stepping stone, this Almighty God kept stepping down, that he had experienced the most shamed death that anyone's ever experienced. Now, let me back up a little bit. Have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who kept stepping down. And because, listen to this, because he kept stepping down, therefore, God gave him a place above all other places. He gave him a name above every name. He gave him his name, every knee will bow. Do you get this? So this is the principle. This is, if you wrung scripture out and you're like, how do I get to greatness? How do I experience God's fullness in our life? You start stepping down the ladder. You start living a life of humility. That's the word this morning. Humbleness. Let me just give you some other scripture so you know that this is a whole Bible concept. Like, this is from Genesis to Revelation. Like, this is God's value. This is the people that he's looking for. Over in verse 1 Peter 5:5, this is Peter saying this. And you may know the verse, and so I'm going to stop and let you fill in. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter's like, all right, listen, guys. This is important. Let me tell you what God's about. God opposes the proud. Those who are climbing the ladder, all for their glory, they're trying to get God. God has a way of undercutting the ladder, knock you down. He has done it over and over in history. He has done it modern day. He has a way of people who are all about themselves and they're climbing the ladder. He has a way of humbling them like nobody else. Like he has that power. So God opposes the proud. He is pushing back against the proud, but he gives undeserved favor. He pours grace out on those who are humble. Let me give you another one. Psalm 25 says this. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He's like, God has a way of coming alongside those who are stepping down the ladder. God has a way of coming alongside and guiding and giving direction to those. Listen to what Jesus said. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He's like, Jesus is like, let me, in case you didn't listen to Peter, in case you didn't listen to the Old Testament Solomon, let me just tell you what the main thing is. Everyone who climbs the ladder and tries to receive their own glory will be humbled, but everyone who climbs down the ladder, he will exalt. He has other hungry, the hungry he fills with good things, and he sends away the rich empty. Proverbs, Solomon says this, he mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Again, a couple other verses. He says, humble yourself underneath God's hand, and he will lift you up. Submit yourself to God, and he will lift you up. Do you get this? Throughout all of Scripture, he's looking for people who are willing to step down rather than step up. Like, do you know, religion, this idea that you have to come to church, then you have to go to join a small group, then you have to, those are good things, but that's not what he's primarily looking for. He's looking for people who are willing to step off of what they think they deserve. I deserve this, I deserve this. And we need to get to a point of like, it doesn't matter what we do. We're giving up our rights. That's what Jesus did. He gave up his rights to receive what the Father has. We have to take a form of a servant. Step down on, it's not about me. This is what C.S. Lewis says about humility. He says, humility is not thinking low of ourselves. It's not like a softball player. You ask a softball player, you're like, man, you played really well. And they're like, yeah, my home run, it really didn't travel as far as I wanted it to. It was really weak, a weak home. You know what I mean? It's not false humility. You ever hear that false humility? Like, whatever. That's not humility. C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking of ourselves, thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. Humility is saying, I'm not the center of this world. I want the Father to be center. I want God to be the center. We're thinking of ourselves less. In fact, a lot of people think that humility is weak. I think humility has a strength to it. Let me paint the picture. There's a movie that came out a few years ago called 42, the story of Jackie Robinson and how he broke into the major leagues, broke the color barrier. And there's a scene where the owner of the Dodgers is coming to him and says, I have a lot of players I can choose from, but I'm looking for one who has strength. You know, I'm looking for one who can handle this. And the guy's like, yeah, I can take on. If anyone comes after me, I can take them on. I'm going to knock them down to size. And he says, no, you don't understand. I'm looking for a strength that doesn't fight back when they're fighting you. Does that make sense? I'm looking for the strength that has a humility about it that says, I can handle this. Well, I can handle climbing down the ladder. I don't need to be great. He's looking for that kind of strength. And this is what you're going to find, that as we empty ourselves, as we step down that ladder, God has a way of working to put us in a position that he wants us in. Let me give you the last rung that we struggle with, the rung of giving up our whole life. That's what Jesus did. He said, I'm willing to go to the cross. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to do whatever God's will is. Does it make sense? I'm willing, whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to trust that God does what he wants, even if it's death, even if it's a shameful death. Let me change it to maybe our words. Have you submitted to God enough? Like, have you taken that last rung where you can say, if he takes your spouse, will you still love him? If he takes your job, will you still love him? If he takes every piece of your health, will you still love him? Whatever he, do you understand? It's a blank check. God, you can do whatever you want in my life. See, we're good with a check that says, all right, God, give me the positive. You know, God, write me a, ask whatever you wish. You know that verse? Ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. We're good with filling out that check. God, I don't want to win the lottery today. I want my marriage to be happy. I want my kids to grow up to kind of be good and know you a little bit. I want you to fill out this blank check. But when we say the real blank, we say, God, do what you want with us. We're stepping down the ladder, whatever. If you take my life today, we're good. If you take away all the security that we have, we're good. We are placing ourselves completely underneath your control. We step down. Do you know what that causes in God? He says, because you step down, I'm exalting you to a greater place. The more humble you are, the more God exalts. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. And here's the question this morning. Is the majority of your efforts climbing the ladder? Or are you working to step down? I'm just telling you, as you look at the next part of the series, we're gonna share with you some ways that God's going to enlarge you. All right, God's going to grow you. God's going to create a movement in you. Like you, there's a power in you that only God can release. And you can do these habits that we're talking about later, and they're good habits. They're good things that we're talking about. But if you miss this humility deal, you will never get to experience the fullness of what God wants to do in your life. God has greater plans than you. The hard part for us is that we want to hang on and make our plans his. This morning, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna have a time. We did this from the beginning of our church, where these crosses have been here through the duration of our history as a church, and they've meant something to me. They've been a place where we have gone when we just wanted to kneel and talk to God and bring him our needs, our frustrations, where we're wrestling with him. It's a place of like submission. It's a place of like, God, this is yours. And this morning, as we kind of wrap up the service, we just want to provide a time where you could come to the cross and just kind of lay before him what you're wrestling with. Now, to be honest, it could have nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. You could be wrestling with something that's totally different than this whole climbing down thing, but we wanted to offer you an opportunity where you could just meet with God. Talk to him where you're at. Lay it before him and just allow God to be God. And so we're going to have a time of worship, but we're going to let you come to the cross. You can sit there, kneel, and pray and just talk to him, present to him what you're wrestling with. And if you have a friend or someone that you know at the cross, feel free to come up and just, you don't need to know what's going on, but just pray over them as they're seeking God in their situation. Let's pray together as we worship. Heavenly Father, we wrestle with this idea of climbing down the ladder. We hold on to things. We have desires that we want. And yet, God, there's this backwards paradox of the kingdom. The more we go down, the more you lift up. The more we give up, the more we receive. God, it's so hard in our world to live this paradox out. We're constantly bombarded with climb the ladder, do better, work harder, which is all good things, but if we miss you, God, if we miss what you want to do in our life, then we're missing a huge thing. So I just, God, we come before you, we just lay it before your hands. Take us, use us, and may you do what you want in our life. In Jesus' name.